Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio, bringing you the latest news of the region. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is a Friday, the 23rd of January, 2026. The National Weather Service is forecasting much of eastern Montana will face extremely cold temperatures through the weekend. The Weather Service is predicting wind chills as low as 45 below zero for the High Line, from Hill and Blaine counties in the central part of the state to the North Dakota border and south to Custer, Carter, Fallon, and Rosebud. They warn that wind chills this cold can cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 20 minutes. They also urge adults to not leave children at the bus stop in the mornings, but stay with them until the bus arrives. National Weather Service also urges owners to keep pets indoors as much as possible. Be sure that outdoor animals have a warm, dry shelter, food, and unfrozen water. These cold temps will pose a danger to young livestock. One of Montana's most trafficked airports saw another record number of passengers this year. Yellowstone Public Radio's Kayla DeRoche has more.
Brian Springer with the Bozeman-Yellowstone International Airport in Belgrade says over 2.8 million passengers traveled through the airport in 2025, a 6% increase over the last record set in 2024.
Inbound non-resident travel has grown substantially, whereas winter tourism travel is a little bit, while it's grown, it hasn't grown quite as much as summer tourism.
He says more than a third of all passengers are residents. Of non-resident travel, the larger percentage visit for tourism purposes. Bozeman-Yellowstone International Airport receives about 40% of traffic through all Montana airports. The airport expects a continued increase in passengers in the months to come. In Billings, I'm Kayla DeRoche.
Amid internal strife at the Montana Public Service Commission, a legislative committee will study reshaping the state's utility oversight board. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rega reports.
The bipartisan proposal would have state officials appoint commissioners to the Public Service Commission in lieu of holding elections for the five seats. Representative Bob Carter, a Missoula Democrat, and Senator Gail Lammers, a Hardin Republican, pitched the idea to the Energy and Technology Interim Committee. Carter said an appointment process would allow the state to set requirements for candidates while removing their need to campaign.
Right now, the commissioners have no professional requirements, and in my view, it creates an atmosphere that's driven by politics.
Carter noted the commission's structure hasn't changed in a century. The proposal drew support from the Montana Chamber of Commerce and a few industry groups who said they want more energy expertise on the commission. Sitting Commissioner Brad Molnar voiced opposition, saying it's important for voters to have a say in the board's composition. Molnar is at the center of a clash among commissioners. He's being investigated for alleged harassment, which he maintains is unfounded and politically motivated. The Interim Energy Committee agreed to work on drafting the bill. Members will decide later if they want to advance it as a committee next legislative session. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
Zoo Montana is another step closer to an on-site veterinarian clinic with their own veterinarian on staff, thanks to a significant financial gift. YPR's Kay Erickson explains.
Zoo Montana Tuesday announced a $300,000 grant from the M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust toward the on-site animal health center planned for the zoo. Zoo Montana's development director, Pete Bollenbaugh, said the planned animal health center is an important addition for the zoo.
By bringing in not only the animal health center, but allowing us to have the space to bring in a veterinarian onto our staff, it will be just a game changer for the level of care that we can provide for these animals.
Currently, the zoo has contracts with vets who Bollenbaugh said provide incredible service and care. But having a vet on staff will eliminate off-site travel for vet care and allow for stronger relationships between the animals, the care staff, and the veterinarian. The M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust provides grants, programs, and initiatives for nonprofits in five Western states, including Montana. In the past, the trust has helped to establish staff positions and improve mental health resources for the staff.
The funds are great, but the thumbs up from the trust is this project is worth supporting comes back to us tenfold.
Zoo Montana announced in March 2025 the nearly $4 million fundraising campaign for construction of the Animal Health Center. With the recently awarded Murdoch Trust grant, the zoo has raised nearly $3 million, about $1 million away from their goal. Bolenbaugh said with additional fundraising, the zoo could break ground this fall. Zoo Montana is Montana's only zoological and botanical park and is accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums and dedicated to wildlife education and conservation. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
A state senator pleaded not guilty Thursday to an official misconduct charge. The case is headed for a jury trial, Montana Public Radio's Shaley Ragar reports.
Republican Senator Jason Ellsworth of Hamilton appeared virtually in Lewis and Clark District Court to enter his plea. The State Department of Justice charged him with the misdemeanor last month over a no-bid contract he awarded to a longtime colleague in 2024. The Montana State News Bureau first reported the $170,000 contract. It sparked a Senate Ethics Committee investigation, a legislative audit, and an official censure of Ellsworth. The Department of Justice asked the court to suspend Ellsworth from office as part of the charge against him. The court granted that request. Ellsworth's defense attorneys argue the case should be dismissed, citing legislative immunity. That law seeks to protect lawmakers from retribution for legislative action. The court will hear oral arguments on that claim in March. A jury trial has been set for July if the case against Ellsworth proceeds. In Helena, I'm Shaley Ragar.
Montana has opted into a program that will give federal tax breaks to people who donate to scholarship organizations. Governor Greg Gianforte announced the decision in a news release on Wednesday. Donors will be able to claim a tax credit of up to $1,700 when they give to scholarship-granting nonprofits. Those scholarships can go toward public or private education expenses. Montana has a similar program providing state income tax credits to donors. The federal program is set to launch next year. A recent report analyzed how national monuments affect their local communities. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler spoke with a researcher who looked at one of Montana's.
National monuments protect places of historic or scientific interest. Headwaters Economics assessed how these monuments affect the economies around them. The report comes as Republican lawmakers and Trump administration officials consider selling or developing some federal public land. Many of them argue these designated areas hinder local development. Headwaters researcher Megan Lawson disagrees.
What we've just found repeatedly is that that's not the case.
Lawson helped analyze 30 large national monuments, including Montana's Upper Missouri River Breaks. She says since its designation in 2001, nearby communities have seen steady growth in employment, population, and income.
We haven't necessarily seen that the monument has brought a lot of new economic activity to the area, but we don't see any evidence that the monuments have taken anything away either.
The monument consists of over 100 miles of the Missouri River and hosts a diverse array of wildlife and history. Lawson says protecting it does not come at the cost of its local communities. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Montana is well represented in the 2026 James Beard Award semifinalists. YPR's Kay Erickson has more on the 8 restaurant and chef candidates identified Wednesday by the James Beard Foundation.
The largest group of Montanans is for Best Chef in the Vi-State Mountain Region. The 4 semifinalists are Brandon Cunningham at Pangea in Missoula, Brandon Dearden at Ember in Hamilton, Earl James Reynolds at Herb and Omni in Whitefish, and Jarrett Risley at Chen in Bozeman. Outstanding restaurateur nominees are Brett F.G. and Michael Oxner with Plunk Bozeman, J.W. High Steakhouse in Bozeman and Plunk, Missoula. Blackbird Kitchen in Bozeman is a semifinalist in the Outstanding Restaurant category. Also in Bozeman is Outstanding Bakery Wild Crumb. Rounding out the Montana semifinalists is One-Legged Magpie in Red Lodge in the Outstanding Wine and Other Beverages program. The awards, among the most prestigious honors, recognize exceptional talent and achievement in the culinary arts, hospitality, and broader food system. The next step, the restaurant and chef nominees, will be announced on March 31st, and winners will be celebrated at the James Beard Restaurant and Chef Awards Ceremony June 15th in Chicago. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
The San Diego Ballet is back in Montana, pairing with Billings Symphony for the magic of Sleeping Beauty. The concert features selections from Tchaikovsky's ballet, The Sleeping Beauty, performed by principal dancers from the San Diego Ballet Company. The orchestra will round out the program with Mozart's Symphony No. 39, as well as feature Mezzo's 2025 Junior Division Young Artist Competition winner, Josephine Grail. The Sleeping Beauty is Tchaikovsky's longest ballet. The Ballet Company and the orchestra will perform about 40 minutes of selections from Tchaikovsky's work, which still serves to give a full picture of the story. The first half of the concert will feature guest artist Josephine Grail on the double bass. This competition provides rising young musicians from across the state with a chance to compete for the rare opportunity to perform as soloists with one or more Montana orchestras. She'll be performing Giovanni Battistini's Double Bass Concerto No. 2. The Magic of Sleeping Beauty is scheduled for Saturday, January 24th at the Alberta Bear Theater. The performance begins at 7:30 p.m., doors open at 6:30, pre-concert cues begin at 6:40. Earlier in the day at 12 noon, Billings Symphony presents a free family concert, Symphony on Point, featuring the San Diego Ballet, the Symphony, and guest artist Josephine Grail. The hour-long concert encourages a casual approach to allow new and young audiences to experience classical music and live performance. For more information on both events, visit BillingsSymphony.org. Opera Montana announces a world premiere of a new opera, and it's very close to home. Opera Montana announced in a press release today the world premiere of A River Runs Through It in September 2026, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Norman MacLean's beloved elegy to family and fly fishing in Montana. The creative team for the adaptation includes music by Zach Redler, libretto by Matt Foss and Kelly Rourke. Matt Foss will also stage direct the premiere. Foss knows the big sky well as a veteran with Montana Shakespeare in the Parks over the last three decades. He's excited to share Opera Montana's vision of one of the definitive American stories of the 20th century and a classic depiction of the American West.
That idea of space is something that we're preserving. So there won't be a lot of ticky-tack of curtains. It will flow and eddy and curve following Zach's music, but it will be seamless and highly theatrical. Professor MacLean, you know, Norman was a Shakespeare scholar, so there's a little bit of that Elizabethan staging. They declared, now we're in the Forest of Arden, in the same way that we are in the summer of 1937, or the Big Blackfoot, or Wolf Creek.
The premiere of Opera Montana's production of A River Runs Through It takes place September 18th through the 20th, and the 25th through the 27th at the Ellen Theater in Bozeman. Performances will follow October 3rd and 4th in collaboration with Missoula Symphony Orchestra at the University of Montana's Denison Theater in Missoula. For more information about Opera Montana's production of A River Runs Through It, visit operamontana.org. You can also find out more about A River Runs Through It at Opera Montana's performances of Ragtime running at the Ellen Theater through February 1st. The Tony Award-winning musical Ragtime makes its Bozeman debut at the Ellen Theater in a new production by groundbreaking stage director Francesca Zambello, artistic director of Washington National Opera. Ragtime was a major Tony Award success in 1998, receiving 13 nominations, winning 4, including Best Score, Best Book, and Best Featured Actress for Audra McDonald. Opera Montana artistic director Michael Saker says Ragtime's creative genius is its enduring relevance.
The truth is that this story is far more relevant today than it was when the musical premiered in the 90s, or perhaps even when the book was published in the 70s. The themes of racism, sexism, being afraid of immigrants and income inequality, I mean, these are all in our headlines today, unfortunately, far more than they were in the 90s. And Francesca and her team wanted to emphasize that in the production itself.
Performances of Opera Montana's production of Ragtime run this weekend and next at the Ellen Theater in Bozeman. For a schedule and more information, visit operamontana.org. That's The Worm for this Friday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode of The New Weekend Worm for you.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.